Well, our scripture lesson is from the 16th chapter of Mark. It's on page 723 in your pew Bibles if you want to follow along. Or if you're techies, you can pull it up on your apps on your phones if you want. I prefer the hard copy myself, but I'm a little older generation. Interesting, as we read through the text, the first question on your worksheet is, what's missing from this gospel lesson? And historically, the Gospel of Mark had verses 9 all the way through 21, but as they discovered earlier, the earliest versions stopped at verse 8, which is where we'll be reading through. And it seems like an odd place for the gospel to stop. So we'll be looking at the resurrection as Mark tells the story this morning. Now, when the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome brought spices so they might go to anoint Jesus' body. And very early on the first day of the week, just before sunrise, they were on their way to the tomb, and they asked each other, "Who will roll the stone away from the entrance of the tomb?" And when they looked up, they saw that the stone, which was very large, had been rolled away. As they entered the tomb, they saw a young man dressed in a white robe sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. "Don't be alarmed," he said. "You're looking for Jesus, the Nazarene, who was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him. But go, tell his disciples and Peter, he is going ahead of you into Galilee, and there you will see him just as he told you." Now, trembling and bewildered, the women went out and fled from the tomb. They said nothing to anyone because they were afraid. Your Christian friends, Paul Jorstadt is a friend, a pastor from Ucaipa, Lutheran pastor, and he tells the story on one Easter morning as he was reading the text, and he was trying to be overly dramatic, and so he took his eyes off the text itself as he was reading it, and as he came to that part where the angel spoke, he said, "And he is here, he has not risen." And what to get those words back. It was certainly the worst Easter that he ever remembered. Very dissatisfied having made that mistake in the middle of the worship service. Well, the resurrection of the Gospel of Mark, his story, for me, is the least satisfying of the four gospel texts. Because as you read that text, it doesn't have all of those wonderful stories and testimonies that you have in the other Gospels. You know, the Gospel of John, that wonderful story of Mary in the garden, and Jesus says, "Mary," and she realizes it's Jesus. Or again in John, you have the story of Thomas, who won't believe, and so Jesus appears a second time so that Thomas can put his hands in his wounds. And you say, "Yes, we know he's risen." And Luke has that wonderful story of the disciples on the road to Emmaus, and Jesus joins them, and they don't know who he is, but he explains the scriptures to them, and their hearts burn with desire. And then in the breaking of the bread, their eyes are opened, and it's Jesus. And then he disappears. And Matthew even has Jesus appearing to the women outside the tomb. And Jesus is the one who then tells them, "Go and tell the disciples." So what's missing from the Gospel of Mark? Jesus. Jesus is missing. He doesn't appear to anybody. Just the angel. All you've got is the man dressed in white who says, "Jesus is going ahead of you into Galilee. Go tell the disciples." What a strange telling of the resurrection story. And when I first began reading this, maybe I could preach on John instead of Mark this year, even though it says Mark is the assigned text, because I don't like this gospel. It's very dissatisfying. No, Jesus, just go, and they go out in fear and tell nothing to anybody. Now, these are the women who came to the tomb. They were the ones that ministered to him during his ministry. Now they were going to minister to him in his death. When they arrive at the tomb, all they find, again, is this man. We assume he's an angel. It doesn't say that in the text. It's just a man dressed in a white robe who tells them, Jesus is not here. He has risen. Now go out and tell the others. Jesus has gone on ahead of you to Galilee, and you'll meet him there. You know, Mark almost, it's like he's not even trying to convince you Jesus rose from the dead. All the other gospel writers, you know, they say, look, they're in the tomb. There's the claws from his body, proof that his body wasn't taken, that his body would have just passed right on through them. Mark doesn't mention any of the evidence that would lead us to believe that Jesus rose from the dead. He doesn't have any of the eyewitness personal accounts to try to convince us that, well, because Mary saw him and John saw him and Doubting Thomas saw him and all these other people saw him, well, that now we can be convinced from all of those. No, he doesn't have a single person see the resurrected Jesus. He just says, he'll be down the road a bit. Go to Galilee and you'll meet him there. It's so disappointing when you first read that text. But as you get into it, Mark has a purpose. He's putting this together. He has a reason for the way he wrote this ending. Because in many ways, I think that's the experience that we have of the resurrection. That Jesus is not there at the tomb. You know, we recently, 2 years ago, went to Jerusalem. We had a chance to go to the garden tomb, but you won't find the grave claws of Jesus. You go in there, you won't find an angel sitting on the right-hand side as you come in. You know, the body of Jesus isn't going to be there. We assume that it's his tomb, but we don't know. We simply have to believe the witness of the Bible that he has indeed arisen. The wonderful part when you think about what Mark is doing here is the irony. I love authors who use irony. O. Henry is one of my favorite authors and his stories. And the irony here in Mark. Now, it's Mark in particular that throughout his gospel, every time Jesus heals somebody, every time Jesus casts out a demon, Mark tells the people, don't tell anybody. It's called the messianic secret if you study Mark. All the time, don't tell anybody. Don't tell anybody what I've done. It's not my time. And what does everybody do? They tell everybody. I thought I told you to keep quiet. And they all go out and tell. So now we finally get to the last verses of his gospel. And finally, the angel says, go and tell everybody. And what do? They said nothing to anyone. Just a little bit of irony there. I kind of like that. What is he trying to tell us? Maybe he's saying, you know, the rest of the story is to be written by you. This isn't a story that's just to try to prove whether he rose from the dead or not. Mark takes that for granted, but he's kind of leaving us with that thought, what's the rest of the story? What are you going to do? When you hear the good news of Jesus Christ, when you leave this worship service today, will you tell anyone? Or will you go out and not say anything to anyone? Maybe Mark is trying to leave us with that question. Will we be like the women who are filled with fear and remain silent? Or will we go out and share the message? And so that same irony exists for us today. You know, as believers in the resurrection, every one of us believe Jesus rose from the dead. We believe this changes our whole view of life and death, that there is indeed life after death. And we're assured of that because of the resurrection of Jesus. And then we don't go out and share that. How ironic is that? And so Mark kind of leaves us with that. And as I read it now, I'm saying he leaves us with a question. So what are you going to do with this story? Will you be like the women? Or will you go and share the good news with others that the resurrection is real? Certainly for Mark, it is real. It's a historic, literal event. Mark's so confident of it, he doesn't even try to convince us. He just states, he is not here, he's arisen. Okay, now that we've got that, go out and believe. But I think also Mark has captured a significant truth, that most of us are not convinced of the reality of the resurrection simply by the biblical witness. If all we had to believe is the biblical witness, it's hard to just be convicted by that, by the eyewitness accounts and the other things. What we're convicted of is when Christ goes before us and we encounter him today. See, that's what Mark is saying, is Jesus is going to meet you in Galilee. Galilee is where the disciples were born, where they were raised, where they were worked. Jesus is going to meet you in your home. And I think Mark is telling us Jesus has gone before us to Garden Grove or to Westminster or Huntington Beach, and he will encounter us here, because he's not there at the grave, but he is here today. And ultimately, I think what convicts us of the truth of the resurrection is we see evidence of God's resurrection here in our world today. We hear the testimony of people who've encountered the risen Christ today. So our faith isn't just based on some book written 2,000 years ago, although it's a holy book and it's God's word to us and it's important to us. I'm not downplaying that. But what I'm saying is, so often what convicts us is the fact that we see Jesus alive today, that we have evidence that he is alive and in our world today. And that's what I see Mark doing with his gospel, telling the disciples, he'll go on ahead of you and you'll meet him. And I do believe Jesus has gone on ahead, not only to Galilee, but here in Garden Grove. And so the question is, where do we see him? Or do we see the resurrected Christ? You know, some years ago, Dolores Allen was a member of our congregation who's since passed, and she went on a trip with Pastor Cadell to Israel. And one of her stories is, was there at the garden tomb. Everybody had gathered in the tomb and went in, and Dolores went back by herself into the tomb all alone. And she had a story that while she was there, she had a vision of Jesus who appeared to her and talked to her there in that tomb. Now, when Dolores talked about her faith, she didn't quote scripture. She quoted her vision, because she said, see, Jesus is alive today. I've seen him. He appeared to me in a vision there at the tomb. I know he's alive, not just because of what the scripture says, because I've had that vision. And she would share that message. She would go out, and if you ever talked to her, that was part of the core of who she was. She shared that statement over and over again. In the same way, I've shared so many times what has been so important to me, my grandfather, when he was on his deathbed. And as he was about to die, he opened his eyes and he said, I see Jesus coming. And he closed his eyes and died. Now, I've told that story, and I'll tell you, there's a lot of witnesses out in this congregation. People say, you know, that same type of thing happened. My loved one, just at the moment they were about to die, all of a sudden this peaceful countenance came over him. I knew the presence of God was with him. Or someone saying, I see a light, or I see somebody who had gone on before them. And you go, wow, so many testimonies that there is more than just flesh and blood, that the Spirit is alive. In fact, every Tuesday we have a Bible study that kind of goes over the lessons for the coming Sunday. And this week, one of the people in the Bible study was sharing the story of one of our members who was on vacation in Europe. And they happened to be in a cathedral in Europe, and one of their close friends, who happened to be the choir director at St. Olaf, died while they were away. They didn't, back at the time, they didn't have cell phones. You couldn't text immediately to know what was going on. But at that same hour that woman died, she appeared to them in that cathedral all the way across the world in Europe. And you say, just flesh and blood? Or is there spirit? Is there more to life than just flesh and blood that we see? And you say, see, he's gone on ahead of us. He's gone on here to Garden Grove. He continues to make his presence known. So we don't only, we do depend on the witness of the scripture, but we also say he's gone ahead of us. And if you listen to the stories of those around you, he continues to make his presence known here in our midst. My last congregation, there's a story of Bob and Helene. Bob was an alcoholic, and he was in the hospital dying from liver failure. And as his wife was praying, she said she heard the voice of Jesus just as plain as day speak to her and say, "Bob's going to be okay." Nobody, the doctor did not say Bob was going to be okay. Nobody thought Bob was going to be okay. And he completely recovered, miraculously. And when she told him that story, he quit drinking. And today he's one of the leaders of that congregation. He is here. You know, maybe Paul was right when he made that mistake that Easter morning, saying he is here. Well, he's not there at the grave. He's here. He's alive. Those things happen. I can't tell you how many people over my ministry with AA who have hit bottom and say all of a sudden they turn to Jesus Christ, and he was there to give them strength and power to overcome either a drug or alcohol addiction. And their lives are alive today because Jesus Christ is alive. So at first glance, you look at Mark and it ends with, "And they went out and they were said nothing to anyone and they were afraid," and you think, "Whoa, what a disappointing gospel. Give me John anytime." But then you think, maybe he's trying to make us think. Jesus has gone on ahead. Our faith is not just based on what happened 2,000 years ago. It's based on the fact that he continues to reveal himself. Because if Jesus is alive, if he is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow, then he's going to be alive today. And the truth of the matter is, if we will listen, those stories and those testimonies are out there. He's not at the grave, but he is here. He reveals himself in visions. He heals people who are sick. He appears to people right before death to lead them into the promised land. He gives people power over drugs and alcohol. And so the witness of the scriptures and the witness of today is that he is here. He is risen. He is here. Amen. Will you pray with me? Lord God, sometimes it's hard to see you in our world. We hear of the many Christians who were slaughtered, massacred in Kenya. We hear of Christians who were executed in Egypt. We hear of war and cancer and so much evil in our world. Sometimes we wonder, are you alive? And then you come to us and you heal and you forgive. And you show us that there is life past this fallen life, a life of glory with you. Lord, thank you for the witness of your scriptures. May we believe the truth revealed in them. But we pray, Lord, open our eyes today that we may see you here and know in our hearts and minds you are alive. Amen.